Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sports Ethos NBA DFS Today podcast. I am your host, Keith Cork, and I am here to cover your Monday slate. Looks like an 8-game in total slate. I'm going to talk about a few other slates I'm interested in on this specific day. So welcome. The first thing, just kind of break into that. Let's talk a little bit about contest selection. I am going to play the main slate just because that's where all the money is available, obviously. That's where the biggest pots are available. So why not? Let's go ahead and lock that in. But I'm also going to play a couple of these turbo slates I like a lot, which for me, it's the second early turbo slate, which is the Portland-Chicago game. Of course, I feel like I have an edge there with the Chicago Bulls. And then the Minnesota and Utah game is on that slate. And then the late slate, the night slate, I also like that a whole bunch as well, which features the New York Knicks and Golden State Warriors and the Atlanta Hawks at the Los Angeles Lakers. So I'm playing all three of those slates today. Those are the ones I feel best about. I feel good about those games in particular. I'm not going to talk about those turbo slates, but I will go ahead and throw that in to anyone that has a DFS pass, what I'm thinking there in terms of best plays on those slates. And of course, it's going to be a pretty short list because there's only two games on those slates, but hey, I've been doing well. I hit another single game entry tonight with doubling out my money, so I feel like I'm doing pretty well with the smaller slates. This is an 8-game slate, so it's a little bit bigger than I like, honestly, but it's okay. We're gonna manage it. We're gonna go through it. So hey, without further ado, let's get started. The Cleveland Cavaliers at the Indiana Pacers is the first game, and it's a doozy. It's a good one to start us out here. See if I can pull up what these lines are here. I'm not sure why my DraftKings is freaking out. Here we go. 7.5-point favorites are the Pacers here, and the game total is 223.5. So 223.5 is that game total. Pretty decent. All the game totals on this slate, honestly, are pretty close, except for the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia Sixers and the Portland Trail Blazers and the Chicago Bulls, but I still have interest in those games. Also, the Knicks and the Warriors are pretty low as well, but I've got interest in all those games, actually. So, not too worried about the game totals here. The spreads may be a little bit more relevant, but not super relevant. Let's talk about, though, the Cleveland Cavaliers. No Donovan Mitchell had to basically exit that last... He exited that last game multiple times. Just not good enough to go, so he's not going to give it a go here. Darius Garland, I'm certainly going to have some shares of him. Definitely interested in him against this weak Indiana Pacers, defense. I think it's a good play. Caris LeVert, also at 6,800, is a good play as well. We saw LeVert pop off for, 14 assists in the last game? I'm misremembering here. He only had 7 assists in that last game, but he had 21 points. So 43.25 DK points in that last game. I probably like him the most out of those two, honestly, but I feel like Garland with that PG eligibility probably ends up in more of my rosters, if that makes sense, just because of the position element of this, which is kind of lame, but that's just how it is. The other guys I like here on the Cavaliers, Sam Merrill. I'm all over Sam Merrill. He's 4,200. He is a shooting guard, but they're going to need somebody to score, obviously. No Donovan Mitchell here. Someone's going to have to score on this team. I think people are going to gravitate towards Georges Niang, and I would just kind of caution against that, just because, at 4,500, you're probably going to get about 25 DK points from him, and that's just not, it's 5x, but it's just not going to do enough for us here, I don't feel like. So I'm not super into Georges Niang, but I do feel like he's still a fine play, especially in cash scenarios, so I'll leave it at that. Isaac Okoro, also somebody that is kind of on the radar here, but kind of on the periphery for me. There's other plays I like across the board a little bit more. So, all those guys, I think, are definitely in play here against the Indiana Pacers. On the Pacers side, I actually am not super interested in any of these guys, honestly, just with giving the pricing and everything. But the one guy that does stand out to me here is Aaron Nesmith, who I've been playing like crazy the last couple of slates. And really paid off for me in that last one where he had 16 points, 4 boards, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals, 34 DK points. He's got that. They're going to need him to produce. I've said this multiple times in multiple places, but he's got to be that guy that steps into most of that Benedict Mathurin production. And it is nice, even though the Cavaliers are typically a good defensive team, they're missing a few key pieces here. Obviously, Evan Mobley, No Donovan Mitchell. So, you know, it's going to be a little bit of a different lineup here. No Dean Wade even. So, you know, we're going to have George's name out there. So I'm not super duper concerned about the defense they're going up against here. So Aaron Nesmith is F5300 is definitely someone I'm eyeing very heavily. So, we're going to be unleashing here pretty soon, guys, a new way to kind of reveal these plays to you in the DFS pass. I'm probably going to aim for that for next season, but just kind of give you a little preview. You know, is this guy a plus one, plus two, plus three, or a lock? I would say for Nesmith, he's probably somewhere between a plus two and a plus three. Probably a plus two for me. So he's one of those guys that I would rank kind of around there. I hope that makes sense to you guys, because it will once we start implementing that more into the DFS delivery. But anyways, that's for the Cleveland Cavaliers at the Indiana Pacers. Let's move on to the Detroit Pistons at the Boston Celtics. 16-point spread in favor of the Celtics. 226 is that game total. And look, just more information is needed here. I don't like anybody in Detroit. I'm really not interested in anybody here. If Foster Thompson plays, I have been playing a little bit of Isaiah Stewart here and there, but I'm not going to go back to that. Or Fontecchio, I'm not going to go back to that if Thompson's in, because he's just going to take away some usage and some time from those guys. It's just a whole bunch of yuck on the Detroit side, so I'm just really not interested there. Boston side, you know, Brown was held out of this game tonight. It's a back-to-back for him. I would not be surprised to see Tatum held out against the Pistons, because they don't need Tatum to beat the Pistons. Porzingis also likely to be questionable here. Derek White might be coming back as well. So there's just a lot of question marks here. We're not sure who's going to play, but any of those main guys that does end up suiting up against the Pistons is the guy I'm going to have interest in. So Tatum, Brown, Porzingis, Derek White, Jrue Holiday, Al Horford. I'm going to cut it off right there. So those guys right there, you know, any of those guys that you're potentially interested in, and Al Horford would only be if Porzingis misses, of course. So we're going to skip that game for now, but more thoughts will be available once the injury stuff breaks down. So we'll keep you abreast of that situation in the DFS channel in our Discord as part of the DFS Pass. $5 a month. Go to it at sportsethos.com. Miami Heat at the Philadelphia 76ers. It's a 2-point spread in favor of the Sixers. Little surprising, but we have some more information here. I'll clue you guys in here. 211 is that game total, so it's a very low game total as well. Another game I'm not super interested in, honestly, but we have a big question mark here. We don't know if Jimmy Butler is going to play. If Jimmy Butler does not play, you can go back to some of these guys. Duncan Robinson is the guy that probably jumps up to me the most at 5,800. He's just absolutely tearing it up right now. Believe he became the quickest ever to 1,000 three-pointers in his career today, the night that I'm recording this, which is Sunday night. So, happy St. Paddy's Day, by the way. Had a good one here. Had a little corned beef and cabbage and some alcohol with my loved ones, my relatives. But Duncan Robinson's the guy that definitely jumps out to me as the clutch play there. Caleb Martin, you know, Jaime Jaquez Jr., if Nikola Jovic decides to give it a go, those guys would also be, you know, on the radar if there's no Butler. I played some Highsmith trying to be cute tonight, and that did not work out for me at all. He's 3,700 now, probably a pass. He was 3,000 when I played him, rock bottom pricing. So, I think he's the guy that actually hit a dude and like killed them, but injured them horribly, like made them lose a limb. Don't quote me on that, but I know somebody did. I'm pretty sure it was Highsmith, and that's an awful story. But anyways, moving on. I don't even know why I mentioned that. It has nothing to do with DFS. Not really. I mean, it's somewhat, I guess. But anyways, I would have interest in those guys if we know Butler's not playing, but we don't. We don't know if Butler's playing or not. With the Heat and the standings, they're only a half game out of the play-in, or in the play-in. I can't remember exactly which, but they're right in that cusp of, you know, making the playoffs. They're in the play-in right now, a half game behind the Pacers. So, I'm not, I would not be surprised to see Butler play through this. And if he does, that probably kills all the value for me. You know the game total for this game, so I'm probably just not going to play anybody in this one. And the Sixers side, kind of the same story. I mean, we'd have no Tobias Harris potentially, but it is a tough defense they're playing against. If we get confirmation there's no Tobias Harris, then Kelly Oubre and potentially Buddy Hield, get on the radar here. Buddy Hield's minutes have been held in check, which, you know, kind of curious. I'm not sure exactly why they're doing that, but it does make him an attractive GPP option, because, you know, if he does end up getting 30 minutes because whatever, they decide they need it or whatever, he's going to absolutely smash a 5,500 price tag. So a guy I would definitely keep my eye on, but again, we need some more information before we really make some for sure calls there. All right, Portland Trail Blazers at the Chicago Bulls. And we do have a 7.5 point spread in favor of the Bulls on DraftKings right now with a 213 game total there. And that's, you know, that low total is mostly come from the Portland side because just don't know who's playing. And even if everyone is playing, they're just not an inspiring offense. Looks like most of their players are going to play. Jeremy Grant is doubtful here, which is not really surprising here. Matisse Thybulle questionable. So, look, it's a tough defense up against the Portland Trail Blazers. I'm not super interested in anybody on the Portland side. The two guys that jumped out to me, though, immediately with their pricing and their usage and ability to go off is Delano Banton, who we've seen absolutely destroy teams as of late. You know, he had 46.75 DK points that last game, 43.25 against the Toronto Raptors about a week ago or so. And the Pelicans were the team that he destroyed in that last game. So, you know, he has the ability to beat pretty decent defensive teams. Bulls are a tough defensive team. I would not bank on Delano Banton having a big game, but he is a nice GPP option, I feel like. Another good GPP option, I think, is also Jabari Walker at 4,700 with no Jeremy Grant. He has minutes kind of held in check in that last one, only 17 minutes against the Pelicans, but, you know, assuming he can go his full 28-plus minutes or something like that, then, you know, we're really cooking with gas there at 4,700 for that price tag. So he is a guy, he'd probably be the guy I'd be most interested in on the Portland Trail Blazers side, and I'm going to have some shares of him in GPPs for sure. On the Chicago Bulls, I think you can play any of the top guys here. It's against the Portland Trail Blazers, and look, the Bulls do need wins, and they're going to have no Coby White again. He's doubtful. So Caruso also questionable, which is a big one as well. So that's, we'll talk about that in a minute here, but Caruso's questionable, Coby White doubtful. So yeah, Nikola Vucevic and DeMar DeRozan definitely on the radar here. I know I had Adesumu just went off for a big game, and he should certainly be on your radar. But he's 6,500 now, and I feel like that price tag is kind of jumping the gun here a little bit. You know, we're probably expecting somewhere around 30 DK points from an Adesumu, and that's not even 5x value, 6,500. So, he's mostly going to be a pass for me, maybe a few stabs here and there, a couple lineups out of, you know, 20 that I'm going to play in the main sites. You know, I'll probably.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Have some of them for sure on that two-game slate with the Bulls, but not super interested there. But a couple of guys that I am super duper interested in, or actually one guy I guess I'm really super duper interested in on the Bulls, is Torrey Craig at 4,100. I do think Caruso is probably going to end up sitting this one. He just runs like a bat out of hell every time he's on the floor. Took a pretty rough spill in that last game, and you know, I think the Bulls really want to protect him for a potential playoff run here. So I wouldn't be surprised to see them keep Caruso out. And if that is the case, Torrey Craig's probably going to end up playing nearly 30 minutes, and you know, if that's the case, you're probably gonna get about anywhere from 20 as a floor kind of to, you know, maybe 30-35 DK points. And you know, there's not the giant floor on Torrey Craig, but if he's gonna get massive run, then he's gonna definitely beat that 4,100 price tag. And obviously, if you're projecting this as a blowout in favor of the Bulls, which I would caution against, but if that's what you're projecting here, Andre Drummond at 5,000 also stands out as a pretty interesting play to me as well. So, but that's it. That's it for that game there. The Minnesota Vikings, I almost said Minnesota Timberwolves at the Utah Jazz is the next game on the schedule here. It is an 8-point spread in favor of the Wolves. 222 is the game total. Nothing really surprising there at all. But yeah, look, Anthony Edwards is probably my spend up here. I know I was all over him in that last game, and he was incredible. No Carl Anthony Towns. He's got to do it all. Potentially no Gobert here. Gobert is questionable again with the ribs injury. Don't really care if he plays or doesn't play. I think I said that last time too. It doesn't really affect Anthony Edwards a whole heck of a lot because Gobert is not exactly an offensive dynamo, so it's not like he commands usage when he gets on the floor. So Anthony Edwards seems like a relatively safe and high ceiling play, which of course we like both those things in pretty much all formats. So he's basically a lock for me if I'm doing plus one, plus two, plus three lock. I think he's probably going to be a lock for me, to be honest with you guys. So there you go. I've got definitely got some Anthony Edwards here. The other guy that definitely jumps out to me on the Wolves, though, is Kyle Anderson at 5,500. He's got a questionable with a shoulder injury, but he's been questionable the last few games with that same injury, and he's played through it. So I would assume he plays through it again here. And this guy's got the ability to put up really, really big stat lines, even though he's very unorthodox in the way he approaches the game. They call him slow-mo for a reason. But, you know, it's against the Utah Jazz. And we'll talk about the Jazz here in a minute. The Jazz may be making this a competitive game, maybe getting some of their pieces back. And if it's going to be a close game, you know, I feel like this is a really good up-tempo type of game for Kyle Anderson. You know, he's going to have to get out in the open floor in transition, dish the rock, score some buckets in transition. So I do like me some Kyle Anderson here at 5,500. And he should be able to beat, you know, the bigs of the Utah Jazz, whether it be Taylor Hendricks or maybe Lauri Markkanen plays in this one, we're not sure, or Walker Kessler. He should be able to beat them down the floor. So I do like me some Kyle Anderson here. If we get no Gobert, that does bump Naz Reid up, obviously, quite a bit. And we saw what he could do in that last one. He didn't shoot the ball particularly well in that last game. He ended up with 56 DK points. So, you know, the sky's the limit here for this guy. You know, he's definitely, if we get the news that Gobert is out, he's locked for me. Right now, he's probably like a plus two, you know, somewhere in that range. So, Naz Reid, Kyle Anderson, Anthony Edwards, those are the three guys I'm targeting on this side. don't mind landing on a guy like a Jaden McDaniels on the Wolves either, but he's not exactly on my short list, so there you go. On the Utah Jazz side, like I said, Lauri Markkanen is questionable with his quad injury. It seems like he's trending in the right way, so he could suit up for this one, which would be nice for the Jazz, obviously. No Jordan Clarkson, already been ruled out for this game here, so that's an interesting development there as well. You know, look, no Clarkson, you know, obviously Keontae George is the guy at 6,900, but 6,900 for Keontae George against the Minnesota Timberwolves defense, I'm just not into it, so probably not. To be honest with you guys, the Utah Jazz are probably just a pass from me. I'm probably not going to end up playing any of these guys. Unless Markkanen is out, then I'll take some stabs on Taylor Hendricks and Bryce Sensabaugh, who have been, you know, both pretty good in their own right, especially for DFS or for fantasy. In real life, they've got their flaws for sure, but those guys definitely for fantasy and DFS are guys you want to be targeting. So, so there's that. Next up, we have the Memphis Grizzlies at the Sacramento Kings, and it's a 9.5-point spread in favor of the Kings right now with a 223.5 game total. And, you know, the Grizzlies have gotten back Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. They're going to make this competitive. This is going to be a competitive game, which is good for both sides, obviously. It's good for the Memphis side because they're going to have a couple of their key guys in, and they should do well. And they're going to have, it's good for the Kings side because it's going to be a close game. So you should get full minutes here from, you know, De'Aaron Fox, DeMontis Sabonis, and all the key players there. So this is one that has a little bit of sneaky value, I think, as people are who maybe haven't been keyed in for the last couple of games, you know, try to play these slates and look at the Memphis Grizzlies and say, oh, the Grizzlies, they're terrible. Obviously, the Kings are going to stomp them. This is a one-sided affair. I don't necessarily think that's the case here. So Scottie Pippen Jr. are going to be out for this game. Luke Kennard looks like is going to be out as well. So that should open up some minutes for some guys here, which we'll talk about here in a second. Lamar Stevens looks like he's out as well. And there's just a whole bunch of other guys that are out that really aren't that relevant right now. So, but yeah, I think Jaren Jackson Jr., Desmond Bane are both actually decent plays here. I think they can definitely hit their value at 8,400 and 8,200 respectively there for Jackson Jr. and Bane. The other guy I would definitely look at here is Jordan Goodwin. We have to get some confirmation that he's going to actually play in this game before it starts. But if he does, you know, obviously no Scottie Pippen Jr., no Luke Kennard. He should be the starting point guard for this Memphis Grizzlies team for this game. So Goodwin should be on your short list for sure. He's only 5,000, and he's listed as a point guard. So there you go. On the Kings side, you know, I'm not super into Sabonis here. It's a tough matchup against Jaren Jackson Jr., who is obviously should be a Defensive Player of the Year candidate when the team's fully healthy and playing well. And he's 10-5. I mean, that's pretty expensive. I think that's the most expensive guy we've mentioned so far. It's 500 more expensive than an Anthony Edwards, for example. So I'm not super into Domantas Sabonis. I'd be more into De'Aaron Fox at 8,900. You know, I'm trying to see if I can fit him into my lineup here somewhere, but I haven't quite gotten to it yet. Keegan Murray at 5,500 jumps out to me as well as a decent play. Probably not venturing towards anyone else on this roster here against the Grizzlies, who again are going to put up a fight. I think it's going to be a really competitive game, so it should be interesting. On to the Knicks at the Golden State Warriors. Knicks at Golden State Warriors, we've got 4.5 point spread in favor of the Warriors. 213 is that game total, but I love this game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, really competitive. You know, Jalen Brunson on the Knicks certainly has to be in consideration. He's been playing like a madman. I don't think I'm going to end up with a lot of him because of other guys I like on slate, but he's just you know, half tier below those guys, so he's really close to being a roster, a guy I really want to roster. Honestly, we do have OG Anunoby questionable here, so you know, maybe we get some extra Dante DiVincenzo or Josh Hart. Those guys are pretty priced up though, at 7,200 for Hart and 6,700 for DiVincenzo. So not super into them, but I'll probably end up with a few shares if we get confirmation that Anunoby is out. If Anunoby is in, I probably am not going to end up with a whole lot of them, if any, at all. One guy I do like though on the Knicks. Interesting fellow to, you know, point out here that is currently in my dummy lineup is Isaiah Hartenstein. He's 5,200. He's playing, you know, obviously center position is his eligibility there. But against the Warriors, who struggling in size, we, you know, they have Trayce Jackson-Davis to throw out there, but that doesn't really scare me. Shouldn't scare anybody. And he saw 28 minutes in that last game. That's kind of the biggest thing here, because he has been on a minutes limit as he's been nursing his way back from a Achilles injury. And if that has been lifted and he's able to play 28, 30, 32 minutes, that's going to be an entirely different story. And they played the Kings last game. He had 38.5 DK points, 14 boards, 4 blocks. But again, it's a 28 minutes that really steps out here. So if we get any kind of, you know, confirmation that the minutes limit has been lifted, or he's on a 28 to 30 minute limit or something like that, then at 5,200, he's like a plus 3 for me. He's definitely on almost like just short of a lock for me, right? So I like Hartenstein a whole lot here. It is a bit risky without that confirmation that the minutes limit has been lifted. So if we don't get that, understand there's risk involved, but I still like him a whole heck of a lot. So I'm going to roll him out there in GPPs, probably more than I should. So there you go. On the Warriors side, why is Steph Curry 8,800? I mean, yeah, look, I mean, he hasn't been like bonkers, you know, as of late this season. He's been very up and down, very hit or miss. But the Warriors needing wins. Curry is healthy now. Looked good against the Lakers. 8,800 is kind of a ridiculous price tag, so I'm going to go ahead and lock him in. Him and Anthony Edwards are going to be my two highest price guys in a majority of my lineups, so there you go. That's the way I'm going here. The other guys in the Warriors are kind of jump out to me. No one really. I mean, I kind of like Wiggins. It's playing that late slate. I know I got some Wiggins shares out there. Trayce Jackson-Davis is an interesting fella. If, you know, we decide that Hartenstein, if we play into the narrative that Hartenstein's going to get a bunch of minutes and be a beast and be a problem for them, then maybe Trayce Jackson-Davis gets some extra minutes there, and so we can go ahead and play into that narrative with him as well. But I'm not super stoked about anyone else outside of Curry on this Warriors team, to be honest with you guys. So there you go. Moving on to the last game of the slate, the Atlanta Hawks at the LA Lakers, and this is going to be a quick episode, God. I'm going to get below my 30-minute mark here. So the Lakers are favored by 8.5 points here. 227 is that game total. On the Atlanta side, you know, I think, you know, DeJounte Murray certainly is somebody you have to consider, but for me, I'd much rather play Jalen Johnson at 7,500. I just feel like this kid's, we still haven't seen the best of him yet. He's super athletic. I love the way he plays. I love the way he gets the basket. I love his athleticism, the way he attacks the rim. Especially if we're going to say, you know, the Lakers might not have Anthony Davis here because of that corneal abrasion, then there should be little rim resistance. Well, Jackson Hayes will be out there still, I suppose, but when he's not on the floor, should be little, you know, rim resistance here for our Jalen Johnson type. And, you know, the Hawks are still right in the mix of things, just won a game tonight. It's a back-to-back for them. So Bogdan Bogdanovic at 6,600, someone I would consider playing as well. I do like the Hawks here, despite the fact that it is a back-to-back for them. DeAndre Hunter, I was all over him for this slate tonight, but now he's 6,000. I'm probably going to back off of him at that price tag, to be honest with you guys. The other guy that kind of jumps out to me as a GPP option or option on the two-game slate that's later is Garrison Matthews at 3,500. Still seeing a pretty solid role in the rotation and still playing, you know, playing decently well. Definitely brings some shooting to this lineup that they do need with what they want to do. So I do like me some Garrison Matthews in those scenarios as well, but I would not suggest him for like a cash build. On the Lakers side, I think anybody, you know, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, D'Angelo Russell, any of those top three guys, I would be all over them against the Atlanta Hawks, who really are a terrible defense and really struggle to stop anybody. But the one guy that I'm definitely going to have in my lineups that I'm more excited about just because of his price tag and value, you know, he's going to provide as opposed to that, is definitely Jackson Hayes at 4,600. And I'm assuming Anthony Davis is probably not going to play in this one. He had that corneal abrasion. His eye basically swelled shut. He couldn't see anything. Perhaps they fix it now. I mean, we'll have to wait and see what the you know, diagnosis is there, what they're how they're going to attack that. But assuming he does not play, Hayes is going to slot into a 30-minute role. He's playing against the Atlanta Hawks, playing against Clint Capella. I like it. I like it a whole heck of a lot. He's going to get, you know, some rebounds and blocks for sure. The points are going to be a little bit hit or miss, but for the most part, against the Atlanta Hawks, they're hit. So I think Hayes is going to be a lock for me if we get news that Davis is out. So there you go. That is it, guys. I covered all eight games there in about 27 minutes or so. So I hope you appreciated it. It's an early look at the slate again. We have a lot of news that's going to break throughout the day. If you have that DFS pass at sportsethos.com, we are going to hook you up with what, you know, what we are thinking closer to tip-off. Follow me on Twitter at ethoskeith, at ethoskeith. Go ahead and follow the show at ethosdfs, at ethosdfs. And hey, until next time, guys, go get that money.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.